Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, the beginning of this majlis, of this gathering. First we start with paying thanks and being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should be so thankful and so grateful that from, you can say, millions and millions of people, us miskeen and sinful people, Allah ta'ala has selected us, allowed us, permitted us that on this first night of Jummah in Shaban, the month of Shaban, that Allah ta'ala is giving to us, and the beginning of the night of Jummah, we are, you can say, commemorating, we are celebrating, we are implementing with the dhikr of Allah, with the remembrance of Allah. This is Allah's karam, His mercy, His grace, His blessings on us, His immense bounty on us. Now, if we think that if insan, a human being, applies for something, if he wants something and he applies or requests, he has an application form. And in that form, on that form, you have different columns. You have a table with columns, name, father's name, date of birth, etc., etc. You have to enter. And every column, every cell, every box has to be completed. Now, if you don't complete all the boxes and you present the application form, and you think that, yeah, I filled in the application form, but you haven't completed it fully, then tell me what will happen. That application, will it be accepted? No, it won't be accepted. You'll say, but I gave you the application form. You didn't accept my job request application. They'll say, well, yes, you submitted an application form, but you didn't complete it fully. And they'll say that this box, you didn't complete it, or you didn't enter the data. And you say, what's the difference? What difference does it make if one box not filled in? No, maybe it doesn't. If you have to apply for a new passport and the boxes, that if you don't fill in one box, will your passport be printed? Will it be granted? No. Will your driving license be granted? No. Nothing. Nothing. And the amount of forms a person is given, he has to complete them. If we don't complete them, then just like the human beings rejected, it's stated that we cannot consider your application because the application is incomplete. So after understanding this example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us He gives the scenario for the akhirah, the life that we will live in the hereafter, that is going to come, in which there are two lives. Yes, one is the life here in the world, and then we have the permanent life in the hereafter. May Allah forgive, may Allah forgive. Maybe there will be permanent adab, punishment for a person forever, or there will be permanent pathways and happiness and in the gardens of paradise. No, it's our decision. Every person of iman can make that decision today. There are two paths that Allah will give, two routes or two destinations, permanent gardens of paradise or punishment. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this sketch of life in this world to select the route we want to go down. So we'll either go to the right or to the left, isn't it? Isn't this the case, my brothers? Yes. Now, if our form is complete, application form is filled in completely, properly, then our application will be accepted. And if it isn't, then if in this world the form is submitted incomplete and it's not accepted and the application is rejected, then how can we say in the hereafter, Allah, we want to go into paradise, but we've not completed the necessary parts of the form correctly? How can this be? It's not a speech, it's not a lecture, I'm just generating fikr, worry, concern. I should think, you should think. Have we ever thought like this? Have we ever thought about this? Have we? Ya ayyuhal ladheena, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu fi silmi, Allah says, fi silmi kaffah, that enter into Islam wholeheartedly. Fill the form completely. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Yeah? Because we should be awake. So when I say precious points, then listen carefully. May Allah give us aql, so that we can understand the point that's being made. That's the objective. So the form that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, which is this lease of life, my brothers, we pass away and we present the form. Will we not present the form, application form, and thereafter? And Allah will say that you haven't completed this column or this row. No, no, I am this person, that person. So Allah will say, but this column, this row, this cell, that box that needed to be filled, is complete. So go away. What will happen then? When that rejection occurs, close your eyes and think. Let's contemplate. I'm stood. It's the plane of resurrection. The line is there, the queue. Everyone's being reckoned. Accounts being presented. Right is paradise. Left is Jahannam. People being grabbed, pulled, dragged. And forms are being checked. And those people whose forms are not complete, Allahu Akbar, even if it's just half full, then the ishara, the hint will be the usher towards the Jahannam. But everyone whose form is full, probably tick, 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 tick. Those people will be ushered towards paradise. Paradise. Contemplate, imagine, is there life after this? If we don't understand, can we have quality of life after this? After 70, 80 years, Allah has still given us a chance. Is there another life that's going to come after this? That we'll get another chance to do good deeds? Will there come another life? So, is this why we wasted our whole time of life? That we haven't even stopped for a moment to consider, is the form completed properly? Morning till evening, our life passes. Have I ever thought that where is my form? What's on my form? I have to present it to Allah. We're so mad and crazy and foolish. Shaitan has made us crazy about the dunya, the world. What is the criteria of success that I can present? Me, you. Which amal can I present that will give us success? Okay, I have maybe attained uruj. Heights through my amal deeds, people are praising me, they call me pious, but it's not just one thing, is it? And the form, there are many different sections and different questions and boxes to fill. So what answer will I give to Allah for the different sections? That, oh Allah, this column, oh, I ignored it, I emphasized on this or this sector. How can I enter into Jannah? That if I cannot get the passport or the driving license or a job or a small thing I want in the world, if my form's not complete, then how can I expect to get success in thereafter? Even if you go to an optician, they take the form out of your file, they start writing onto the form, and if you write wrong, you'll say, well, this is wrong, how can I submit this further? Your eye test, the data for your eyes, sight, and the dentists, they also fill in the data on the form. If you go to a hospital to get an appointment, I was shocked and surprised myself when I went to the counter. She's asking me a question, how old are you? I said, all of this has happened before. This is my appointment I've come to. The doctor knows him. If I just tell the doctor I've come and please see me. See to me in the hospital. But no, this was their principal. And one number I didn't remember in my house. I couldn't even remember the own code. And she said, if you don't remember this yourself, then you can't go into the appointment. I said, is this a point to remember? Think about it. Yeah? And what are we here for? That these are the principles of the world. They've made so strict that if you give one code or number wrong, your telephone number, a digit is wrong, and they wouldn't allow me to see the doctor, everything was correct. No, you've given the wrong number. If you give the number, then we'll allow you to see. Then we know you're the right person. So I thought at that time, huh? If this is happening here, and if I was stood in front of Allah now, and Allah was asking me, that what answer would I give to Allah? That she's asking me and I'm there stood, I'm regretting, oh, I don't know the number, they don't let me in. And here I could make a bit of noise and maybe I'll show the number somewhere, I'll get hold of it. But then hereafter nobody will help me, no influence, no bias, nothing will assist me in the court of Allah. Nobody will dare to speak a word to assist. And we are sat here thinking I'm the best and I'm pious and I will pass the test and no problem at all. Think for a moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this not something worthy of contemplation? Don't we need to worry about what I'm saying? So Allah Ta'ala has given us a life, a lease of life. What is the right of what's our right in this world? What does Allah Ta'ala sent us here for? What will Allah demand from us? The tasks that Allah gave to us, Allah will ask us. It's very simple. Allah Ta'ala says everything is simple. Not this that we have to read big kitabs or understand afterwards. No. All types of people, the poor souls will be stood there. Some people with maybe small IQ, big IQ, jahil, ignorant people who can't recite the kalima. There'll be scholars, great scholars, muhaddithin. All types of people will be stood there. And Allah will look at everybody. Everybody. And everybody will be accounted equally. And Allah has made principle and laws of deen so everybody can understand. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So He'll give an answer. The form of Islam that we have to submit to hereafter is very simple. It's not complicated, not hard, not technical. Nobody needs to ask someone, what do I need to fill in here? This cell, this question, this row, this section. No. The good departments, the good companies, organizations make simple forms so that we can complete them easily and submit them. So the objective is me, and a person's happy. Oh, it was very easy to apply for the passport before I had to do this, and decades ago I had to do this, and fill in that form, then submit that. Now it's become so easy that, for example, all I have to do, I don't have to put a stamp there or a seal. They say, just put your name here, and the person's so happy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the same way that I want all of my servants to be happy. and contend that the form of life, when we look at our forms in the hereafter, we'll say, oh yeah, I've understood, I've passed, I'm successful. Nobody can go to the hereafter and say, oh Allah, I've got no excuse that the work you told us to do, we didn't understand what to do. No. Why didn't you understand? Oh, I didn't go to Darul Uloom, I didn't go to this institution, etc. I wasn't a scholar. Allah will say, no problem. No need to be that. It's even easier than that. So what is it that we need to understand? For example, Ramadan is about to come. We're revising, aren't we? We are revising now all of the content matter for our lives. Allah Ta'ala is making us revise, repeat, so we can make ourselves knowledgeable properly. Otherwise, if we waste our time with nonsense, then we'll lose out. So let's repeat and revise. Let's think. Why am I here? Ramadan's coming. All of the things that are lacking from the year, we can fulfill in this month of Ramadan. So alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So we're repeating and revising. That's why we gather, we sit. Rather, you don't come here to see my face, I don't come to see your faces. I'm not an alim, scholar, muhaddith, or scholar, or a person who's a speaker or a wife. I'm jahil, a humble servant, and a sinful and normal person, common man. And I sit amongst you good pious people and we're discussing. This is Allah's karam, mercy and His favor on us. So brothers, to this point, to this extent, now we've understood the message of today. Now Allah Ta'ala has given us the application for. So what shall we do next? So let's read the form first. Then we can prepare to fill in the form, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala has given a very concise application form for us to complete during this life so we can submit it on the Day of Judgment to Allah. Allah says your decision to make on this form is for paradise or hellfire. That when you depart this world, what do we call that? What do we call that? Allah's rahmah. A person's reach to the mercy of Allah, isn't it? To the hands of Allah. We say to Allah's mercy. But how do we know what will happen with that person's form when it's submitted? As he arrived to Allah's rahmah, if he has, then the form will have been submitted and completed properly, isn't it? So, when a person's transferred, it's called a person's died. What does it mean when a person's died? He's being transferred via death. From here to the next after. So our concept isn't that he goes into the soil, he's buried, he's finished, and the dogs and the cats or the animals will devour him or burn him. No. Islam says, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala has given us reality in this beloved madhab deen. That person's died. When a person's died, what's happened to that person? He's transferred to another world. Just like you go from one house to another, you transfer. So we will transfer from this world to another world. Subhanallah. As long as we were in this world, Allah Ta'ala gave us the capacity, ability and capability that we could adjust ourselves to this world and the environments we're in. We didn't like soil or dirt or dust. But when we go to the hereafter, then the dust and the soil in the grave, that will become the place where we will be living, say subhanAllah. And he will say, quickly, quickly, put me into the soil. He cries out, the dead person. Quickly bury me. And that's why it's stated, the ulama, the noble scholars, the respectful scholars have said that when a person dies, quickly put that person into the grave. In the hadith, they stated there are three things we should hasten, be quick with. One of them, the ulama, the respectful scholar, said that one of the three things that we should be fast in is when a person dies, we should be quick in doing the janazah. Not from here, we sent to another country, to Pakistan. Ask the deceased, that what are you doing, nonsense? You're still throwing me around in the world? You're still making me dalil and wretched in the world all life long? You made me lose out and you took from my money. You made me lie. You made me consume interest. He says to his children, you made me commit haram and fraud. And even now, you're not allowing me to do amal. The words that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told me, that the best place is a person when he dies, quickly, quickly, dig the grave and enter me into the grave. Not into the grave, but this is my permanent abode that's waiting for me. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So, permanent house, best, either it will be a palace or a mansion with beautiful, cool fragrances and nothing in the world. The biggest king in the world today, even if a person, a humble servant, broken down, no money, he doesn't even have a bed to sleep on in the world, he doesn't have a blanket, doesn't even have a blanket to use to when sleep. And we say, oh, lower him to the grave, throw him into the grave. Then thousands of millions of palaces and mansions of this world will not compare to his mansion. And you say, quickly, quickly, I've passed away now, quickly bury me. Because when a person transfers to the hereafter, then everything of his gets transferred. He will have no interest in this world, no children, wife, house, shop. He doesn't want anything. He doesn't want to see his shop. And we say, rubbish, no, send him to Pakistan so he can bury next to grandfather and send him there. The question doesn't arise. When a person dies, Whose hukum is this? Imamul Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When a person dies, wherever he dies, consider that's the place where his grave should be or her grave should be. Don't fall into traps and arrange a flight and send the body across the world. You are delaying the deceased and he'll be cursing you. You've made me wretched, you've destroyed me. Why are you making me zaleel? Quickly bury me in my grave so I can get ease. Then we wait, oh, the sister's coming, uncle's coming. This is dunya. Look how zaleel it is that the person who's dying, we still play with that person's life. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a law, don't play with the deceased person, that your hisab is finished. Allah says that my trust has come back to me. Say subhanallah, his life in the world is gone. Your connection with this person, trade with this person is finished. You feared him so much and given him wages and he gave you tarbiyah, he educated you and cried for you. He's done so much for you. Now this is my trust. Allah says, I take my trust back. Now go. Say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's it. And Allah, you have taken your amanat back and we are content with that. That's it. Don't play with the deceased person's body days upon days. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Now, Allah Ta'ala, what has He done? Allah Ta'ala says, when the deceased person transfers to the hereafter, his interest in this world is finished. Then that same thing occurs, what I said before. The envelope opens, the application form comes out. The application form that was completed throughout the whole life duration will be analyzed. And Allah will say that when you're transferred from this world of the dunya, the world to the next, O my servant, O people of Iman, then you need to come to me in a certain way, Allah says. So now Allah's given a schedule. Or schedule of acceptance. Allah says, on your body, there should not be even one spot of a sin on your body. Say subhanallah. Not one spot, not one stain equivalent to an atom's weight or a grain of dust. No grain of dust equivalent of a sin should be present on your body. A sin, one sin. No, we don't say this is a small sin, this doesn't feel like sin, it's a big sin, nothing at all. If Allah Ta'ala has defined all of the list of disobedience actions, Allah says, even if it's so small to you that you cannot see it with the binoculars, but in your ears Allah's Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's message has been delivered to you that this is a sin, don't go near to it. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. That's it. Yes, there's no other criteria, secondary, tertiary. If Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has defined to us, He came to teach us. Mi'raj, we speak about Mi'raj, we speak about Rasulullah's greatness. And Rasulullah said, don't worry about me, I came to the world with your grief and I gave you salah, such an ibadah that will give you forgiveness if you do it properly. And I've seen with my own eyes when I travel in the heavens, up in the heavens, that what are the punishments that are given out for the sins and all the destruction that is. And I've seen this with my bare eyes, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the consequence of your life if you don't live good or if you live good. So brothers, this is me and you, our objective, our situation, our scenario. And Allah Ta'ala says that when a man or woman comes to me in the hereafter and they have one dot or spot of a sin on their body, not good enough. They have to be totally pure, like a white blanket or sheet. And if we reach to Allah like that, our hisab accounting will be very simple and we'll go straight into paradise. But if there's one spot, one stain, one dot of a sin, but Jannah will not accept that because Jannah is very pure and clean. And the criteria is that Jannah does not accept any individual who has even a dot or a stain of a sin on his body or on his sheet. So then what will happen? Allah will say that you have arrived to the hereafter. Yes, you will be given ghusl and you'll be buried, but then you will be given ghusl, a bath with the fire of Jahannam. You'll be burnt due to your sin. So tell me, my brothers, the fire in this world. For a second, can you put your finger into the fire of this world on the gas oven or anywhere where there's a flame? So then what can we say about the hereafter, hellfire? This is a beautiful night, a night of forgiveness, the night of the first Friday night of Shaban. So can we speak more about Jahannam? Let's speak about Jannah, my friends. Let's encourage each other. May Allah Ta'ala give us paradise. Because if we continue, maybe there'll be a bit of disappointment, sadness. So let's speak about paradise more. Allah Ta'ala, let's do dua to Allah. That Allah, please save us from hellfire, the severity of hellfire. So is there anybody here amongst us, any man, anyone who's here listening, that today we should prepare? We may die tomorrow or today or on another day, but when we die, there should be no sin of the eyes, of the lips, of the ears, of the hands, of the mind. Totally 100% pure and clean, that man who doesn't have one dot, one stain, one spot of a sin sin on his heart or his body, and he will restrain the paradise, he has no link with hellfire. She will have no link with hellfire. That's it. Do we understand what's being discussed today? So now what do we do? What do we do? There should be nobody here, me, you, all of us, who says, oh, this is too hard. How can I achieve this success? Oh no, it's impossible for me to do that. How can I leave this world without a sin? But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed something, then that solution is the best. That's what Allah ta'ala will request from us on the Day of Judgment. And most definitely all of us have the capability, not one. Millions and millions of people are departing this world who have not a stain of a sin on their body. So it's not the case that we cannot do it. We all are capable of doing this. Many have come and have gone, and many are going towards paradise and many are not. So if Allah ta'ala has said that I want this, then obviously the production line is there and the factory is there and production will occur. Not how will this occur? What do I do now? It's too hard. We put our two hands together, it's too hard, please leave me out of this bypass. Okay, fair enough. If you think it's too hard, then accept a hellfire. And thereafter, if not now, after 5 years, 10 years, such a time will come and we'll be thrown into the hellfire. Many years after that, maybe that'll be the code. Let's do action A, which is we should be prepared at all times for passing away. And what's the preparation at all times for dying? Is that person should be clean, pure on his body. There should not be one spot stain of sin. And let me tell you this, the respectful scholars have told us this. What can I say? I'm not worthy of saying this, but the scholars have stated. The scholars, and this is what the ulama, the respectful ulama, tell us, that brothers, all amal deeds will be wasted by sin. Doesn't matter how many good deeds you do. What is your maqam, your status? But when a person commits a sin, then that sin burns the good deeds and it wastes the noor of that deed, the good deeds the person does, and your amal will flip upside down. And Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity to do good deeds. And after doing good deeds, we still waste time after that. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Allah says, la tubdu a'malukum. That your deeds, don't waste them. Don't waste them. Don't throw them down the drain. So the first thing that we need to see is that when Allah gives us the tawfiq, the ability to carry out an action, look how much tawfiq Allah has given to us. And an insan, a human being, gets the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala has given us faraid, compulsory, wajibat. He's given us hukum to implement faraid. Yes, salah is fard, zakat is fard compulsory, fasting is compulsory, and hajj, if we have got the hajj, is compulsory, isn't it? So we have hajj and we have the wajibat, just like the bid is wajib. Yeah, compulsory deeds, salah, hajj, zakat, fasting, and the beard is wajib, compulsory. And the beard, minimum one fist length is wajib, compulsory. So if an individual implements the faraid and the wajib, and if he doesn't pray tahajjud or ishraq, he doesn't do dhikr, anything extra, he doesn't read Quran, doesn't do hifz, doesn't learn ilm, he doesn't have the capacity, ability, but he earns halal, he protects his children, looks after his children, he does what is demanded of him, the rites, and then he sleeps easily, he cannot pray taraweeh, or he can't pray tahajjud or ishraq or chast, but he fulfills the fard actions on a good level, with quality, he implements the wajibat with quality, and he saves himself from the sins, just like Allah Ta'ala says that you need to stay clean and pure, and no sin should be attached to the body. And after doing all of this, look now, if after doing all of this, what is the shart, the condition here, is that we should have no sins attached to our body, attached to us, even if ibadat is not too much, even if there is low amount of nafil actions, or hajj only a few times or once, whatever, and recitation of Quran is less, all the nafil voluntary actions are low in volume and quantity, but when it comes to fard, he fulfills all the fard and the wajibat, he doesn't do sins, then he will wake as the ghawth and the kutab as the wali Allah, because he's fulfilled the criteria Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, that on his body there's not one stain of a sin. And he tried so hard and he has got to that good level. And Allah will raise the person that way. So what do we understand? So how should we prepare for a successful hereafter, my friends? With how? How do we prepare? That we, when we depart from this world on our body, there should be not a sign of a sin. Not a speck of dust of a sin on our bodies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah's sunnah. Allah's guaranteed habit. Allah's guaranteed practice. What? That when Allah Ta'ala says something, when Allah Ta'ala says about an amal, a deed, then at the same time Allah prescribes how to do that deed. So Allah Ta'ala has told us the methods. Allah has made a total constitution And it's called rahmah, as a mercy to the believers. Why? Allah Ta'ala says, the hukums I'm giving to you, the orders. Then Allah says that you will cross the bridge in the hereafter to attain success. The deen of Islam, Quran has not been given to repeat or to hifz or for kissing. This is not the primary function. The Quran has come for one reason, that we should learn guidance from it. That the first thing we need to do with relation to the Quran is that to live a good life, we need to attain hidayah. And this is what will give us shafa'ah, rahmah. Yes? And Quran is nur ala nur. And the person will be nur ala nur. That if he progresses, if he does hifz first, he practices the Quran, then secondly he does hifz, learns knowledge, he memorizes the Quran, then Allah says that this is nur ala nur, and then you will continue to ascend the levels of Jannah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. But if we don't take the objective of why Allah Ta'ala has given us the Quran, this is hidayah. Allah says that when the hukum is coming to you, that you need to bring life to me, then who will tell us? Where will we get the guidance from? Where will we get the guidance from? From where? From the Quran Hakim. Quran is shifa. And it's a rahmah for the mu'min. For this reason, this majma'i rahmah, this majma'i shifa, the person who brings Allah Ta'ala has given it to you, and Rasulullah SAW is rahmatul lil alameen. Remember this. Mercy to the universe, to the whole universe. Every juz of the Quran has been presented to us, and everything in creation knows about the Quran. SubhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala, where He gives hukam, order, then straight away Allah gives the amal, the action. So when Allah gives an order, then He says, fulfill this order by doing this action. SubhanAllah. We say it's too hard, where do I go? I can't commit the sins with the eyes, with the tongue, from the hands. Can't do sin in the stomach. I'm not allowed to do any sin. It's too hard. No, we are capable. We are mu'min. And this is the shan of the mu'min, alhamdulillah. That it's not being forced on that person. This is the shan, the demand. That this is what should be like. And that's why we've been born. That's why we've been created. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a tariqah, the method in the Quran. Shall I explain it to you? Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. That any man or woman, if he upholds this method, implements this method, then inshallah when that sister or brother, when he or she leaves the world, then not a spot or a stain or a dot of sin will remain on that person's heart. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Okay, then inshallah in the next meeting I will tell you, or shall I tell you now? You want me to tell you now? Then whoever wants to hear it, raise your hands. Okay, put your hands down. And the person who wants to implement, put your hands up. Okay, good. That's the good point. Okay, right. So, Malana, you didn't put the hand up. You put the finger up. That's Shahada. Put the hand up. So, brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us hukam that so that we can save ourselves from this. It's not in one place. In the whole Quran, we are given this guidance of how to leave the sins. In one word, Allah has given us the whole message, and the whole Quran is full of this. Instruction. How much we hear this, Taraweeh, Ramadan. But do we ever pay attention to this word? That's in the Quran, Allah's instruction. Allah's given us a message, and the whole Quran is filled with this instruction. And what is that word? That word, Allah, it will transfer us to the good. It will tell us that you, when you come to me, then totally you should be pure and clean from the sins. The Quran is prescribed to us in different places with amanu, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. That word is coming. What is that word? Taqwa. Taqwa. Subhanallah. Qari sahab will tell us, isn't it? Qari sahab, I'm a jahil. Isn't this iman? And with iman comes taqwa. Yes? So Allah Ta'ala is telling us, fear. Fear of Allah. Allah says, O people of iman, beware, on your body not one sin should remain. What is taqwa? That your life should be so pure and clean that no sort of stain should be there, no sin should be visible. And how many places in the Quran you can count and see? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. We think, who is Allah Ta'ala speaking to here? What's this ittaqullah? What's this ittaqullah? It's just there for, maybe not for us. Not for me. Tell me, O people of iman, Allah Ta'ala says, when you come to me, no sin should remain on your body, should be present or visible on your body, in your heart. So if Allah Ta'ala is telling us this, then subhanAllah, this is the style of the Quran. When the Quran tells us, then at the same time it gives the cure. Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. And the cure will come now. That no one could imagine that how we can be saved from the punishment. But then we ask Allah for the guidance. That we, when a person passes away, we do the ghusl and we wrap him in the cloth and bury him. But the qabr says, come quickly. You are going to go to Jannah. We have to strive on this. Allah says, eat chickens and meat and pilau rice and shami kebab. And whichever kebab you want, eat. Allah has given us fruits and vegetables. Allah says, enjoy. Marry 1, 2, 3, 4, it's up to you, do all of this. But Allah Ta'ala says, I have not stopped you. My ni'mas you want to enjoy, and on top of that, save yourself from the sins. Enjoy yourself in this world and in the hereafter. Both places. Allah, how do we be saved? Allah says, I will tell you. You'll be saved. You should eat what I've given you in the world, and I'll give you the tariqah. Do amal on this, and you'll be saved. What do? We say we want to eat Allah Ta'ala's provisions, but then we will live the way we want. No, don't do that. We refuse to obey Allah and His orders. Is this justice? No, it's injustice. So Allah Ta'ala says, Allah gives us 30 days. And Allah has given us those 30 days. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. 30 days. Allah Ta'ala gives us 30 days. We fast, we do mujahidah, we strive, we make effort, we read Quran, nafal actions. Allah says one thing. Allah says, I've given you the whole of Ramadan for this reason. So I can explain to you that it will benefit you, and this is all you need to do is what? Is that the sins should be removed from your body. Your body should be free from sins. There should be no sin on the tongue, from the eyes, from the ears. Everything should be pure. Maybe straight after Ramadan, I will call you back, Allah Ta'ala says. That Allah said, I sent you Ramadan not for the Quran, to finish the Quran. Nafal tahajjud la'allakum tattaqoon. I gave you Ramadan, so not a spot, not an even iota, not an atom's weight of sin should remain on your bodies. Isn't this what has been sent for Mawlana Sahib Ramadan? Yes, but we twist and book Ramadan now. There'll be seats booked for Hajj and Umrah or the blessed trip, but that's fine, subhanAllah. But at least repeat the proper lesson before you book the ticket. Repeat, revise the lesson that when you go to Umrah, then the objective of Ramadan, why did Ramadan come? Am I fulfilling the right of Ramadan? The money that I'm going with, is it halal? Is there any fragrance, any stench? Is anyone's mal I've consumed? Have I lied? Have I signed incorrectly? Have I said something wrong? And remember that the biggest trap of shaitan and nafs is that it makes sin look minuscule and minor. And the ghulams, the sahaba ikram of Rasulullah, they said sin in front of us was such that we never considered a sin as small. Every sin looked to us to be massive. And today we are living in opposite times. We do sins as big as mountains and we consider them the size of a mosquito. No, this is the call of the sabah. So what about today's generation? Oh, where's it written? Where's it written? Allahu Akbar. Immodesty, nakedness, where's it written? Oh, this is the day and age we're in. We have to do this. We're forced to do this. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. Think about this, brothers. What is Allah Ta'ala saying? That nafs is making us do sin. And we have one criteria, one standard, that my Mawla, what is He saying to us? SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. Yes, because when you hear good things, you should say SubhanAllah. Then what has my Rabb said in the Quran? What has my Rabb advised? What is the secret behind the success of this action? Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he explain to us what does this verse mean? And his followers and the ghulams of the Sahaba, how did they explain to us how to do amal on this? History is full of the knowledge. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. What should you do? That be saved from the sins. And now comes the cure, the physical step. How do we do that? How do we? SubhanAllah. Will everybody do it? Yes, very easy solution. Well, Allah says that what should we do? Say SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala says, purify yourself from the sins. I'll tell you the tariqah. If you take all of this tariqah, then inshallah you will be purified from the sins. Clean from the sins. Then it won't be hard for you to do good deeds. It won't be hard for you to keep the beard. It won't be hard for you to leave the TV. It won't be hard for you to leave the phone in the night. And then these things will knock your heart and make you feel upset. And then you will start to clash with your nafs. And then there will be the clash between haqq and batil. And if you stick to the haqq, then the batil will disappear. And Allah says, Ja'al haqq wadhar al-batil. That the batil will disappear. Allah Ta'ala is clearly defining here the message of Islam in a nice way. Bas. Allah Ta'ala says, what you need to do? Every person should do one action. Allah Ta'ala says, every person should do this. that we should create a fikr, that our focus should always be on this, that Allah, for tomorrow, is there a tomorrow? What is tomorrow? Maut. That for tomorrow, what luggage have I put together? What have I got? What have I sent ahead of me for the hereafter? Allahu Akbar. And this is the cure. And this is so common in our lives that we don't pay attention. It's so common that we need to pay attention. Listen, that for example, it's my MOT test tomorrow for my car. I don't know where the papers have gone, and I'm worried. How will I do the MOT when I don't have the past papers? And tomorrow's my interview in the evening. I need to give an interview. I don't know where to put those sheets and the notes. I haven't prepared yet. So you've got fikr for the preparation. The shop, and you've applied for a shop, you'll have fikr in the night that did I fill in that form properly? I didn't meet that man, or do dua for me so I can get the shop, my application is accepted. Don't we have fikr? Because tomorrow I need to decide on the car, or tomorrow's my MOT test, you have to change these tires, then you come back, etc. Then, for example, you need to get application and get entrance into a school, etc. We have fikr for all of these things. I'm worried what's going to happen tomorrow in months to come. Will I get the job? Will I need to go to the shop tomorrow or not? Will I get the date where I can go to the interview tomorrow that I apply to get married to this sister? Will I get the response that I'm going to get married? Yes or no? Yani, in other words, all life long a person's immersed in fikr. He's immersed in the worries that all night long he's worried. And my Mawla says that this is in my control. If you remove this, just have one fikr and worry that tomorrow, what amal and deeds did you gather and collect together to take to the hereafter? This is the fikr that we need to change. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And this is how easy it is for us. So it's stated that you've got the wrong fikr, foolish person. This is nothing to be worried about. The world, dunya, what's going to happen now after I go. This is all written. Let's just do one action. The tariqah I've advised you. And that tariqah, that method is very easy. Rasulullah ﷺ showed us, demonstrated. And once Rasulullah ﷺ was present, is there anyone who wants to do dua? And one sahabi said yes. And Rasulullah ﷺ said this dua. What dua do you want? He said this. What else do you want? This. What else do you want? And they're submitting their requests, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is doing dua. Say subhanallah. So in the same way, if you get to the sisters, Rasulullah said, they tell me, what do you need? Ask and I will do the dua. The women are explaining, we need this, we want our debts to go away, we want this problem to go, this problem to go. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu is continuing to do dua, and the dua is getting accepted. What an easy method. All of these mu'amalat, Allah Ta'ala says that I've made a system, and ask for dua yourself. And this is the sunnah of Rasulullah, the good pious people, ask them to do dua for you as well. And Allah says, I'm the one who will hear and I will fulfill your request. Tell me, what a great method. That when you're afraid of, when you sin, then go to somebody pious. Yes, and this is the sunnah of Rasulullah, that go to a pious person, good person, and request for them to do dua. Who is the one who gives? Allah gives. But no harm to ask help. So for all of these mu'amalat, Allah Ta'ala says that you have no need to worry or fikr. This is not fikr, this is shaitaniyat. This is not concern, proper concern. Shaitan's taking you away from the asal fikr and worry. You should have one desire that tomorrow when you come to me, there'll be jannah here, or there'll be jannah here. You'll have fikr that Allah, am I going into paradise? Or if I don't, then I will be finished with this one demotion. That what is this, the punishment I'm getting for what? Subhanallah. Then you'll see that the nur, the power will be created, that you will leave the sin, and then subhanallah. So this is a very great amal that Allah Ta'ala is telling us. Very great amal. Is there anyone greater who can tell us than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tell me from iman, but we don't have fikr in our hearts. Wallahi, we don't have this fikr. Otherwise, why? Because we never think. We never think. We don't even think in the night that I'll pass away. We're thinking that we're afraid of death. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. What's the fear? That we'll be going to Jahannam or where? But we're not afraid that we have to present ourselves in the court of Allah, and I need to prepare for this. Allah Ta'ala says so clearly, specifically, that what have you kept for tomorrow? What will you take from this world? Then look at yourself, look at your body, this is my face, there's something missing here. Will I take this to Allah? That I earned this today, what I put in my pocket, will I take this with me? And what the words I've spoken today, will I go with this tomorrow? Yes, do you understand the difference here? Yes, just like you are looking for a job and you have to do MOT for your car, you'll apply, you've got fikr, isn't it? So appointment, I'll say, no, I've got an appointment. Where's that letter? I need to go tomorrow morning. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Subhanallah. And that letter's lost and he's looking for the letter. And he's a patient, half an hour is wasted. And then he says, oh, I left here. I couldn't remember. Because we're worried about the next day, we have to go to hospital. My letter, it's not clear. I need to show this for the appointment. Is this not the fikr? Tell me. Is this not the fikr? Worry. So Allah Ta'ala says you don't have fikr or worry, concern about the akhirah. Subhanallah. So wherever we speak about taqwa, fear of Allah, Allah Ta'ala is reminding us, repeating it, that, oh, ghafils, open your eyes. Oh, lazy people, open your eyes. You've never thought that your wife's gone, your children have gone, your grandfather's gone, the people from your family have gone, your mother's passed away. You've never thought that, where is this all gone? Where have all these people gone? Think yourself. And the rest, all of the muamalat and the issues, the daily issues of life, Allah says, I give rizq. I give wealth. Ask from me. Ask from me, I'll give you the means. But you shouldn't be worried about the world and money and wealth. Who gives health? Allah. Who gives children? Allah. Who gives success in business? Allah. Everything is in the control of Allah. So why do you feel that Allah Ta'ala says, I'm the one to give and I'm with you? Allah Ta'ala says very carefully and clearly, Allah Ta'ala says that you haven't got concern for this. Allah Ta'ala says, even if it's a broken down repetition, learn, revise. So, for example, make it easy for us to understand that this fikr, that we can create it in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives. Quran is telling us this. And we're replying, Allah, my Mawla, you've given us very great advice. We've understood that we are lacking this fikr. That's why we commit the sins. This is the reason why we do sin, because we don't have fikr. When a person commits a sin, that at that time he doesn't have the fikr. He doesn't have the worry. He doesn't have the concern that he's committing sin. And then afterwards, maybe the fikr will diminish. You'll say, it's okay, we'll see what happens after. So that same person, he will get big adab. A person who knows, I'm sinning, I'm delaying, I'm leaving. Yar, if for example, I have oppressed this person, if I've hit this person, then the punishment for this is 10 years imprisonment. Will he do that action? Will he commit that crime? And if, for example, this person's money, if I eat it, then if I'm grabbed, then this will be the punishment, 5 years inside. If you go to somebody's house, there's gold there, silver. You feel like taking the gold or the silver, very beautiful. But you're thinking, oh, if I'm caught, the cameras are here, what will happen? 5 years in prison, will we do that? All of the stores are open, and we see phones and preparation for sales, and we say, oh, take the phone, I don't have money, it's a great model, we'll go close to the phone, etc. But we won't knock on the door window because the cameras are watching him. This is his punishment, it's low punishment. Subhanallah. So this is the point. Allah Ta'ala is trying to revive our thought processes. That we need, when our fikr goes, when our worries go, that I am going to die tomorrow, I have to be presented in front of Allah, Allah will ask me and then I'll go into Jannah or Jahannam. When we have this fikr in our hearts, then we will leave the sins. But if we don't, then we'll do sin, zina, adultery, immodesty. So how can we term ourselves as people of Iman? Let's think. That always that person will do sin who doesn't have fikr in his heart, who has no fikr in his heart. He's forgotten about fikr and worry and concern. So when a person is committing a sin, then at that time he should understand that my iman is being wasted today. I could not even think this. I have to present myself tomorrow, for example, to Allah. Then how do we develop this fikr? The Allah's Quran, you give us the shifa and the rahmah. So then the reply comes from the Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qunu as-sadiqin. How do we develop the fear of Allah? How do we develop the fear of Allah so that our deeds can be accepted? Allah Ta'ala says, those who've already developed this fikr, unuma sadiqin, say subhanAllah, that in their faces there's testimony. If you sit there, there's testimony. And their words will testify. Everything of this will testify. Their wujud will testify. And shaking their hands will testify. They have no extra certificate. There will be no announcement, subhanAllah. And to stay in their company for some time, and your own self and heart will bear witness. That when you create the connection, and your connection with that good person will be a testimony. And if your friendship with that person, your friendship will testify that these are those people that, alhamdulillah, they have created this fikr, they have this worry. And then, for example, when something or somebody becomes a witness and testifies for you, then kunu masadiqin, make friendship with that person. And when you make friendship with that person, and no, don't, you cannot succeed, don't worry. Allah Ta'ala says you don't need to do anything else. If you are honest in your heart and you've got a good friendship, then Allah says, I am your Rabb. I promise that your thought process will change. It will change. So fikr akhira will be developed. Allah says, don't be munafiq. Don't be hypocrite. Don't start thinking of something else. When you go to my friend, then you should wash yourself, clean yourself, purify yourself. And in your mind, there should be nothing else left. And only one thing should be in your heart. And what should that be? Allah. Subhanallah. And nothing else. And see how you will succeed. That such a big task of imputation that we think outwardly is so hard, that not a stain of a sin should be on our bodies when we leave from it. Is it easy? It's difficult. It's a big job. A big job. Me and you, if we die like this, what will happen to us? Tell me. But it's very simple to carry out the tasks that we've been given to us. Very simple. That fikr akhirah can be generated. And to create fikr akhirah, what we need to do, we need to make friendship with a friend of Allah. And with that friendship, there should be no greed, no link to the dunya. 10 years, 5 years, 5,000 years, you sit with him. 30 years, you sit. But there should be no condition or precondition of dunya, relationship based on dunya. We should speak about Allah, Allah. That's the relationship with the good person. So do we understand the solution, my friends? So who will do it? The angels? No. We committed. Everything around us is a witness now. When we're presented in the hereafter, Allah will ask for the witnesses that my message, was it delivered to this person? Subhanallah. And this is the night of Jummah. Which night is this? The night of Jummah. Shaban's first Jummah. Allah says, I delivered a message. You did not deliver it to you? You don't need to ask an alim or any other person who's a muttaqi, etc. Allah Ta'ala says, look at my preparation. Kun fa yakun, everything occurs. There was no alim, no muhaddith, no person to worry to a fikr. And there was nobody good. Or there was no wali of Allah, no kutab. Just one normal person who revived our hearts, and that was Asif Ruki. That's it. Look at the difference. Yes. So Allah Ta'ala says, I decide who will do the work of the deen, but the words of the Quran came to you. One person who doesn't have any status, but he delivered the words to your company. Has this word not come to you now? And this is Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. So I should be afraid, my brothers. Rather, I should be afraid first, and you are pious. So let's promise today that we will analyze our thought processes, our minds, the amount of worry we have for the world. What will happen tomorrow? And for tomorrow, we've amassed so much money, so many bank accounts, so many shops are open, so many houses are made. We live here. We have 10 shops in Pakistan. We live here. We have 10 shops in Gujarat. We live here. And the houses are with them. They're not our own homes. Imagine they've taken them into possession, repossession. Why? Allah Ta'ala says that there's a reason for this. Think, what have you done for me when this world, the dunya, will go too fast and you'll lose out? What preparations have you made for me? May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.